Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
It's also the same as someone that learns how to play guitar, bass, or drums well enough to then go start a punk rock band, and they happen to get big and do well, Green Day, without having the musical talent of, say, a Neil Peart on drums or a Yngwie Malmsteen on guitar. No, I'm being dead serious. Or Geddy Lee on bass. All of those. Would you ever compare?
A
guitarist,
asking the least musically inclined person here about that.
There's the thing. The problem is it's new, and because it's new and it appears easier to some than others, but no, they're not comparable, and I wouldn't call it harder or as hard. I would say that there's a lot of misconception about AI generated art, specifically from the people that do it through like web-based apps and websites where they just upload a picture or a simple prompt. More credit should go to the people that actually create the data sets and the training of AI and stuff like that. A lot of skill and talent into figuring out, especially when it's a specific style, you know. So
what's in your mouth? What is this?
We're all good.
Oliver,
boring the hell out of Nick. So
I could have woke up at 8:30.
if my thing is
hold on. Okay, fine. Hello, everyone.
Are you not ready? Are you not ready, Nick?
Let's start over. I didn't know when you guys were done. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast. The international, not so much this week again. Official.
Y'all right there, buddy? Flagship podcast of LRMonline.com and the John Rivers Podcast Network. Today, we have Senor Nick Dahl here, as well as me, Jammer, to talk all about crazy stuff in movies and streaming and TV and a lot of Warner Brothers woes, as we last week or the week after. I don't remember. It all blends together in a massive stew. So who knows when we did that. But we got some Wednesday to talk about, too. Wednesday is, I'm not sure if you've heard of this little series that's popped up on Netflix and taken the world by storm. As you could probably tell, we're late to the party on this one, mostly because we covered other things that we thought were more relevant.
Like Glass Onion.
Glass Onion, that was mostly it. But also, for me, watching an entire 8-episode series in a week is difficult if, you know, my partner isn't completely bought in on it. So it's one of those things.
And how did you, how fast did you watch it?
We watched it over the course of 2 days.
Like, it's difficult for me to watch it in a week, but
partner is bought in on it. That's gotcha. The addendum that I added to it, because, you know, there's a difference between watching 8 hours of content by yourself in a week and then watching it with your partner at night or over the weekend. But yeah, so Wednesday came out and it took the world by storm. I remember I was interested in this when we first talked about the trailer. Mm-hmm. But I don't know who was scheduling at Netflix. I still don't understand why this was not released in October.
No. Why I thought not? That at first, too.
Why not?
And then I watched it and I'm like, oh, there's no reason to. It's already huge. Like,
no. I think this thing could have been as big or bigger if it was released in the month of October prior to Halloween, personally. If it's the vibe.
No, I don't think it would have. That's what I'm saying. The only reason I don't think it matters is because it's already huge. I don't think it would have been smaller if they released it in October. In fact, at first, I thought it was already out and was going to watch it on Halloween because I'm like, oh, it must have come out this Wednesday.
Exactly. Last Wednesday. And I was like, they would have gotten you quicker. they would have gotten you quicker if it came out on Halloween. It seems like so naturally, because I feel like for a lot, if it hadn't gotten big, if it had just gotten the normal Netflix treatment of getting dumped on Netflix and everyone forgets it a week later, there would have been a lot of people who've been like, on a Halloween or the week before, I'm going to watch Wednesday. Oh, it's not there? Okay. And then they forget about it. They never really think about it again.
I actually have a great reason for why they didn't. Whether they were intentionally doing this or not, it paid off.
Okay.
It gave Dahmer more room to breathe. And currently Netflix's three biggest live action shows ever in English are Stranger Things, Dahmer, and Wednesday. Stranger Things 4.
Is Dahmer the same demographic as Wednesday?
I would definitely say there's an overlap.
What overlap Absolutely. Is that?
I don't know, people interested in, like, because Dahmer also felt like a Halloween show for me.
I literally just asked you a question. You said, there's an overlap. What overlap? I don't know.
Murder. Like,
murder. Okay.
Blood. There was a lot more blood in this than I thought there was going to be. I mean, I know it's Netflix, but I thought they would treat something like the family, Adam's family, with a little less violence. But yeah, we're going to review that. It's 72% on Rotten Tomatoes, Jammer, which is lower than I expected.
Yeah.
And 8.4 out of 10 on IMDb. But 97%.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say 97% of Google users like this show.
What about on Rotten Tomatoes audience score?
That's 86.
86%.
So that's higher than the 72. Especially since, I mean, I loved it, but it's not nearly as. I don't want to say not nearly as good because I think it's really good, but it pales in comparison to a Dahmer or a. Stranger Things 4, as far as comparing it to their other top programming.
Sure.
But it is good. Like, I would give those, like, A's. I wouldn't give this an A. We'll get to that part. But I loved it. I binged it in, like, 2 days, too. And
Well, I was going to say, let's just dive into it then. Like,
okay.
Tell me your general impressions of Wednesday. Or, first of all, what were you expecting going in? What were your general impressions? And then what would you rate it? Spoilers.
Okay, so I remember we've been talking about it for a while because obviously we look at trailers. There have been two trailers for this, so we've talked about it twice.
Mm-hmm.
I had zero interest in it. I was like, why do you guys think this looks good? It looks really? Like Cruella, which I hated. It looks like Cruella. Remember, I was against this. I'm like, this looks so stupid. Like,
because I was the other way around where I was just like, I thought I agreed the trailer made it look kind of like Cruella, but I loved Cruella.
Yeah.
I really liked Cruella.
And it wasn't just that. It was like, why do a show about one character from the Addams Family? When if you're going to, like, especially like 8 episodes, it should be about the whole family. You know, like, you're going to spend more time on one character and one project than you ever spent about the family at once. You know, it just seemed like a weird sell. The trailer didn't look
Wednesday
that
is already iconic, man. Wednesday's got that goth deadpan vibe that people love.
And that's what I found really interesting, too, is I watched The Addams Family yesterday from 1991, directed by Barry Sonnenfeld, I think, who's actually the same director as Men in Black, which I was very impressed with. Kind of think I like him better than Tim Burton as far as two people who have the very similar style. But she's such an unimportant, like, she gets so little screen time and, like, you know, a traditional version. I guess that's the traditional version, even though it was a TV show before that. Yeah.
Yeah, there was the TV show, there was the movie, there was the comic, or I think comic, on which it was based.
Was it a book? Was a comic it's based on?
I need to look that up. Here, you keep talking,
I
don't know.
I thought it was originally a TV series, but like the Munsters, but I don't even know if that's a fact. I know there's a black and white version because someone was showing all the Festers over the years and it was a funny meme. And one of them was Boba Fett from Book of Boba Fett because, you know, he looks exactly like Uncle Fester.
That's funny. Yeah, it was originally a comic.
Oh, interesting. I noticed this while watching it. It's created by a guy whose last name is Adams. So I want to know how messed up his family was.
Who knows?
No, but then, as I was saying, I went in with... Like, I wasn't planning on watching it at all, but then everyone was talking about it, and it was streaming number one for, like, 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, I'll try
There's a potential for it to overtake Stranger Things.
Yeah, and we'll definitely Dahmer. But those, like, I found it interesting that at a time when Netflix and everyone else is, like, kind of collapsing, they're having their most viewed shows of all time. It's because we're not even talking about like blockbuster numbers where, of course, a movie makes more money 10 years later because it costs like $10 more. It's an exaggeration, obviously. But it's more hours watched, which doesn't necessarily mean more eyeballs either, because I watched it twice. Maybe there are more people who watch things more than once.
I mean, it's possible. That's actually really valid, because I feel like the type of people who are into this probably like watch it on repeat, watch a lot of it. I feel like those are the same type of people who probably watch Stranger Things, maybe less so than the people who watch Dahmer.
I watched Dahmer twice also. I'm waiting to watch this a second time. I need at least my roommate for me to watch it a second time, especially since so now I can kind of go into my review now, spoiler free. I found it very delightful, even though there's comparisons in fact, I would say I did like the things that are similar to Harry Potter about it, even though I dislike Harry Potter. Like, they're at a school, and it's like, here are the stoners, which I love that joke. The stoners are Medusa people, because she's like, the fangs, the scales, the stoners. I'm like, stoners? And I didn't know what they meant in the first episode.
To be clear, they're like Medusa, or what are they called? Gorgons.
Yeah.
That like
Gorgons, yeah. Stone. I didn't know what they were called. I've only heard of Medusa. I've never heard of them. It's a species. But, and then like I really got into the mystery, and especially I mean Wednesday is awesome, and they built a really cool collection of characters around here, even if I thought, and it builds a really cool like what's the word I'm looking for, like, obviously it's a cool world building thing, and it's very, but like the idea of there's kind of a prophecy in it, in a way that I was really excited to get to throughout the entire, every episode. Like, oh, when's this part going to come up that someone saw in a book, which is in the first episode. So I don't consider it a spoiler, but I was like, oh, this is cool. Like, this looks amazing. And even that reminded me of a Harry Potter type thing. Like, cause the image reminded me of the cover of a Harry Potter book.
No,
but no, it was fun. And, you know, just throwing you from the beginning, just throwing all these fake clues and real clues and stuff at you. And I found the actress. Her last name's Ortega, right?
Jenna.
Yeah, I had no idea. And in fact, she looks like she's 5 years in age different than another character she played this year, which is she's from one of the main characters in Scream.
Oh, Scream.
Yeah, and X, and what's the other one? I hear she's in 4 shows this year. Like, I consider her MVP of the year as far as projects done.
Because,
yeah, she's in Scream, and she was amazing in Scream, but she looks like she's 5 years younger in this than she is in Scream, which is so weird. But yeah, so I guess overall, and then what I didn't like is there were just certain times where it's like, they're stalling to get to 8 episodes. Like, this is not important at all. Like, we're just... So that's right.
I'm actually curious about what those things are for you, because I see your point, like stalling to get to 8 episodes, but I do think something we've lost in this era of 8 to 12 episodes or whatever is an ability to have a side episode that focuses maybe on another character or is just more about character development. And I don't necessarily consider those just to be filler as much as just time to hang out with the character. So when a lot of people say like, oh, it's filler, I'm just like, well, I'm getting to know this character and understanding who they are and why I should care about them. So I don't necessarily consider it filler, so I'm curious to see what those stalling points are.
Be careful
when we talk about it. Spoilers.
Be
when we talk about Jack. Spoilers. When we talk about spoilers.
No. Not that. That is. I was gonna say that you're an anime fan, so filler for us is a lot more bearable in shows.
Oh,
in live
were,
action.
I thought you were gonna call him out for. He's,
No. I wanted
to
make a joke
about.
Yeah, I was making a joke about how much true filler, almost pointless filler, there can be in anime, and that the tolerance
for it. That's different. That's basically saying we have no source material. Let's just have them go shopping for 2 days. Let's have them go to the beach. Let's have them do some other miscellaneous shit. Let's have them fight against a fake bad guy who's like 10 times worse than everyone else.
That's like the railgun, certain scientific railgun series. You'd get like 3 or 4 episodes of shonen action, Misaka and company kicking ass and stuff, and then it would slam into like 2 or 3 episodes of shopping and food and trying to get the headmistress a date with the guy that takes care of the orphans or whatever. You're just like, how do we go from people with superpowers destroying half the city to eating cheesecake in a cafe?
Yeah, it's even worse with One Piece. they used to do that method, but then they changed over to, hey, instead of having filler episodes, let's just intersperse filler throughout each episode so that each episode covers the equivalent of like half a chapter to three quarters of a chapter, as opposed to 2 to 3 chapters, as it should.
Anyway, I was going to jump on you because you're the person who is always like, it seemed like no matter what show we watch, you're like, that should have been less time. And now I'm the one saying this should have been shorter. And you're like, well, what is filler? Like, let's get philosophical about it.
No, that's a fair question. What is the difference? The difference is, am I bored? Do I care? If I don't care about what's going on, and like, then I'm not going to like it. If I'm bored, if I'm like losing my attention, then whatever. Even if something doesn't maybe contribute to the overall plot, but it contributes to the character, or it contributes to the relationships between the characters, in a way that I think subjectively is effective, then I'm like, I'll be more receptive to having that filler, quote unquote filler. So it literally has to just do with like, if I consider it boring, then it's dragging out and it should be shorter. If I consider it entertaining, even if it does or doesn't contribute to the main overarching plot, then I am more, I excuse it more.
Okay. So those are my overall thoughts. Jammer, what are your overall thoughts?
How would you rate it?
We'll give a review after. Yeah. A letter.
I think the word delightful is the perfect word for this one. As you said earlier, I remember before it came on, I was pretty excited for it because that trailer I thought was really good. And it captured the Cruella vibes, as it were, that I really liked. And I thought she did a really good job of Jenna Ortega at the deadpan look. And I was like, okay, she's going to be good. But admittedly, I started hearing reviews come out when the show was like launching. And I was just like, ooh, people are kind of like mid on this. You know, there wasn't a lot of passion behind it. No one really seemed to care that much. It was like, it's fine. It's kind of boring. It's too long. Like, I've seen a lot of people have that other same comment where it's like, they're clearly stalling for, to fill 8 episodes or whatever, and other sort of aspects. And I was like, ooh, I don't know how I feel. But then I was all over like TikTok and YouTube, and critics may not be liking it, but normal human people seem to be really digging it. So I was like, all right, well, I'm going to watch it. Normal human people. So I was just like, all right, well, I'm definitely going to give it a shot anyway, because it was on my to watch list. So whenever Kirsten was ready to dive into it, I was like, let's dive into it. And I think halfway through the first episode, I was just like, I love the tone. I love the cast. I love the vibe they're going for. I kind of enjoy where the story's kind of going. I'm basically in. Like, I'm entertained throughout. I'm good. I'm happy. This is way better than I thought it was going to be. And it ended up being sort of a murder mystery thing. I love murder mysteries. I love mysteries. I think they're great. And so weaving that into this it worked for me. The mystery itself, admittedly, wasn't the strongest mystery. Like, I, about 2/3 of the way through it, I'm like, oh, it's this. And I was right. But like, whatever. I still had a good time like hanging out with these characters, seeing their relationships blossom. I think it's very rewarding to experience Wednesday as a character. She's very closed off, very deadpan. You don't really know what she's thinking. And to sort of see people kind of chip away at like her exterior little by little is really rewarding to see. That's like a fun trope that I like, is someone getting broken down in a good way, like getting their walls broken down over time is a nice trope that I enjoy. And I think this one does it fairly well. And I think it's great. It's fun. I think she's surrounded by as you mentioned, an interesting cast of characters, some more than the other. I think the love interest in parentheses, if you were to call it that, they're okay, whatever. Then again, romance has never interested me, but what
like
I really
best
like
friend
is
and like the beekeeper,
the dynamic with her best friend. Her best friend was really good because I think they could have gone an easy way. She's like, she's definitely bubbly. She's bright. She's kind of the polar opposite, but at the same time, they didn't make her stupid and dumb, or at least oblivious as to the way Wednesday is. She's like very understanding. She's socially adept to understanding what Wednesday wants and how she's the exact opposite of it. And they sometimes clash as a result of that. So it wasn't just, I'm going to keep on throwing stuff your way, even though I know you hate it because I don't even realize that you don't like it type of thing. So I think it was handled with more nuance than I expected with those two. And I think I like that relationship quite a bit. But yeah, overall, this is just a really fun 8 hours. Each time I sat down, for the most part, I was a fan. I think there was one episode in there where I was kind of like, kind of getting a little bored. And then the next episode picked it up and I was like, okay. And we could talk about that episode in a bit.
I wonder
bit
if we'll I can guess that one too. I wonder.
Yeah, I'm interested to see if you can.
Talk about similar stuff.
Yeah, we'll talk about it in spoilers. But overall, mm-hmm. really great show. Amazing cast. I think they all killed it. I'm happy that Tim Burton has done something now that I've liked for the first time in a long time. And I'm ready for season two. So I would rate it B+.
I would give it a B. I forgot to say that about Tim Burton too. It's like, I love his original stuff. It's like super out there, but nowadays he either doesn't do enough like Big Eyes or whatever it is where you're like, how do I know if it's, or he does too much like the animated Addams Family claymation one or Frankenweenie. I thought he did that. If not, maybe even like Frankenweenie or something mm-hmm. where it's like, wow. And now it just feels like a different director trying to do Tim Burton. Like he feels kind of like one of those directors who's trying to capture his old mojo, but doesn't have it anymore. Kind of like a Lucas.
I don't think Lucas tried to capture his old mojo. I think he was interested in doing something completely different that no one else wanted.
But I thought this was the right amount of Burton, even though obviously he created it. He directed the first four episodes, but he actually didn't even direct it all. But you know, when you're the showrunner or the creator, you set the tone.
Yeah, he set the tone. Four episodes. More than I thought. It's half. It's a not insignificant amount of episodes. I was actually surprised. I thought he would just be directing the pilot. Maybe that's what I thought too. The fact that he did all four was really impressive. And as he said, he set the tone for, I think it was one other director, maybe two, who took on the rest of the series. And I think they all did a great job of maintaining that style.
I think we need to stop using the word pilot these days, don't you? Like they don't.
It's
most
a
shows don't
You're
do
right.
It.
Technically, it's not a pilot because a pilot, by definition, is something you create, you present, and say like, "Hey, is this good enough to continue?" And then they green light the rest. Mm-hmm. But it's a shorthand for the first episode.
Yeah. Now so many people know it that it's like I said. Okay, spoiler time. Spoilers, people.
Wait.
Oh
no! Actually, go ahead.
We already gave our reviews. I mean,
we gave our reviews,
letters. Yeah. So yeah, spoilers in case you heard him say, wait, if you stayed long enough for that.
Oh yeah.
Excuse me. So, even though I enjoy the family very much, the particular episode was her parents' history. That was the episode where I was like, oh, just get me back to Wednesday's mystery. I don't need to know about the
dad
actually killing
wasn't
someone.
The episode. That okay. actually wasn't the episode. I actually thought the stuff with her parents, I thought I enjoyed that, and I thought that it would probably builds for more stuff down the line with mm-hmm. her relationship with her mom and her with the desire of the type of person she wants to be.
And I like that we get to see more of the Addams Family. Like, you know, like I said earlier, when it was originally I saw the trailer, I'm like, why not show more of them? But once it became her mystery, it's like, I don't want to see unrelated shit. I don't want to see why the sheriff doesn't like him. Like, I don't care.
Literally what it's like, it's almost the equivalent of like if you're reading a book and you're like following a specific storyline mm-hmm. and then they switch to a different storyline and you're like, God, I don't want to watch this. I want to get back to the other storyline.
Yeah.
But by the time you get to the end, they switch it back over to that thing. You're like, no. I wanted to go back to the other storyline. It's like I get engaged in what's happening in the moment and get temporarily frustrated when we switch gears.
And I still don't know why that part exists except for to shoehorn the Addams Family and more, even though I do enjoy, especially the actor choices were superb. Like, yeah. And also, but one of my favorite characters is also in that episode because that's the parents' weekend episode. The dad of her best friend, like she's like
the guy who says like two words.
Yeah, but he is always like you can tell when the mom is like yelling at her or like just like why haven't you done this yet? You should go to summer camp. He's looking at his daughter with loving eyes, even though he looks like the gruff dad.
He looks like I was telling Kirsten this. He looks like the guy from Home Alone. The shoveler guy from Home Alone.
He does.
That's what I got the vibe from. That warm sort of grandfatherly look, even though he's a dad, not a
He should play him in the spinoff series since the original actor is probably dead from Home Alone. And it'd just be about the that guy.
They just call it the shoveler.
But
I don't
that was
what his name was in Home Alone.
And there were a few relationship things, you know, like the whole trio of people liking her. I'm like, we can get rid of this. I know we're setting up characters that could be guilty. And in fact, I think all of her love interests were accused of something at one point or accused
she
of being the monster.
She had two love interests. Calm down. All
Didn't
of
she have
them.
A third?
I don't think so.
Oh, I always thought Medusa guy was going to be more into her. But yeah, he was in the friend, yeah.
And he was not accused.
No, he wasn't. But he's also not one.
So the episode that I was talking about mm-hmm. is actually the episode that for me dragged a bit was the episode. And maybe it was just weird. The episode where we see a flashback to her quote unquote blonde haired Native American ancestor. It was really weird. It was just weird. It was a weird flashback and it didn't seem to contribute to the overall plot that much. We had the whole thing with the previous, I guess, founder of the town and her burning that statue and getting revenge for her ancestors. It just felt it felt more like filler. And I think I was also just thrown off by the fact that her ancestor was like blonde. That was really weird to me.
I really liked that stuff. And I like that stuff even more than the monster stuff, because the whole time after mm-hmm. I saw the opening image, like the, you know, the one in the book that the boy tries to like kill her over.
Mm.
If you've seen the series, you obviously know what we're talking about. Like his mom drew it in the past and it's like a vision because they have telekinesis or something, which I don't know what that has to do with visions, but
it's powers. That's the connection.
Yeah. But just that image. And the first time they even show it, like, you know, he's like, you destroyed the school. I'm like, it looks like she's defending the school from a pilgrim. Like, so the whole thing, the monster storyline's great. It's a cool mystery. But the whole time is like, they better get to that finale this season or I'm going to be pissed if they end. Like, especially as we got into the last episode and we still hadn't seen why the pilgrim was really connected to anyone until the last episode. We've just been in his tomb and stuff. I was like, they better show that showdown in this show. So that's why I like the flashbacks to her ancestor with the white hair. Because I'm
blonde.
It looked really white to me. It could have been blonde. I don't remember. They kind of desaturate the flashbacks a little bit too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and like I said, it's nothing new these days, but like I like kind of, you know, the racial undertones, the normies versus the freaks, and even like not being oh, I'm not a full werewolf. So like, you know, the whole like mixed race thing where it's like, well, I'm not werewolf enough to be in that group and I'm not normal enough to be a human. So.
But we got special guest Oliver here. Yeah, the racial undertones as well as the general diversity of the series was really good too. And the fact that the Addams family was like a Latino family or was really awesome, because I mean it always has been
Luis
but like
Guzman.
Also but like not really, like it has been, but it's been like Latino in like a very sort of white way, and
yeah,
how they let it be less white in this series, which I meant more to me than I thought it would.
Yeah, I agree. I thought about that a lot, maybe too much watching it, and then I watched the Addams Family from 1991 yesterday. I'm like, oh, like it's just like their names. Yeah, like Gomez. Like, is that his name? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Gomez Addams, yeah. So, I mean, technically, it's not a last name. It's just a first name. So, it could be anybody. It could be literally
for some reason,
anybody,
I always thought they were Hispanic, too, though, when I was watching it. Like,
the name Gomez, I think, is probably what this is the main thing.
Yeah,
I just appreciate that, like, you know, Jenna Ortega, obviously Latino, her brother seemed to look very much Latino. Obviously, Guzman, he's really, you know, he's him. So obviously, I believe they're Puerto Rican, though.
Catherine Zeta-Jones, she's not.
No, she's super white. But, I mean, not the whole family
doesn't she have Spanish heritage? Not necessarily, like, darker-skinned Hispanic, but, like, Hispanic as from Spain heritage or something?
I don't know.
I might be wrong.
Yeah, I don't know, but I mean, let's again, the whole family doesn't have to be, but I mean, just sort of the undertones there, and the fact that if one is and the other one isn't, that the kids are sort of mixed, and
yeah,
that aspect I think was pretty good.
And Thing,
Oh my god,
Thing would be such an interesting character. Yeah.
I didn't, because usually Thing is more like, usually in an Adam Sandler thing, I'm like, okay, whatever, hand go away. But in this one, Thing was fucking awesome. Like, one of my favorite characters.
And emotional. When he got stabbed, I was like,
oh. I was like, literally, I was a point, I was just like, oh my god, did they kill Thing?
No, I was wrong way. About Catherine Zeta-Jones. Kyle gave us.
Her father is Welsh, Welsh, and her mother is of Irish Catholic descent.
Well, if you're Catholic, you're already half as. Hispanic. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. I'm okay. Joking.
You're either get, Irish oh or you're God. Hispanic.
Get out
I'm
of
Irish.
Here.
But yeah, I felt for Thing. It was interesting. Like, yeah, and they fleshed out all of her friends that you felt for them, like the beekeeper. I forgot what he called their. And then, like, you know, and they're just being progressive too. Like, not every character has to, you know, be minority or whatever, but like, I mean, in multiple ways, like her, like he had two moms and it was just a thing. It wasn't a big mm-hmm. deal. It's like, oh, we're his moms. And it's like, I like that point of society we've reached where, yeah, the character has two moms. It's not important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Like diversity just all over the place. And so people were comparing this to a CW show. I don't see it, to be honest. And I'm curious if you watch enough CW to notice one way or another.
Only if they're specifically referencing Riverdale.
Because Riverdale, for me, was...
But even then... Like,
the first six episodes.
Budget-wise or something. Like that. Well, those CW shows look like garbage. Even the superhero ones. They just look terrible.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a budgetary thing. But as far as like tone and style goes... it just seems like for Riverdale, it's like unnecessarily over-sexualized and dark. And the same thing I would go with Sabrina.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why I thought about Riverdale's, because didn't they actually do a crossover at one point where after Sabrina was canceled, she showed up on because this I never haven't watched a single episode of Sabrina, even though it looks good. Maybe I will now.
I love the look of Sabrina. And then I watched Sabrina and I was bored. So I stopped halfway through season.
Because this immediately made me think of Sabrina. Especially when you said CW, even though I'm like, Sabrina is on the CW, but...
But yeah, I could see that. I mean, don't... Sabrina, for me, it just felt needlessly dark. And I mean that more way than one. There were parts where I was looking at the screen. I was just like, I can't see what the fuck's going on because it's so dark.
Oh.
Game of Thrones syndrome, I guess. And then...
DC syndrome.
It was just slow. It was just very slow.
Nolan syndrome. Every Batman movie since Nolan has been... is impossible to watch during the daytime unless you close your drapes. But me and my roommate, I mean, nowadays we have to do that for almost every show, me and my roommate. But that's another thing I would say. The mystery wasn't the best, kind of like you said earlier.
It did the job.
Yeah, it did the job. And like, I liked a lot of other characters too. Like, I really, even though it was a dick sometimes, I really liked the cop. And dad. And especially as his layers were kind of pulled back, that he knew his son was possibly a monster. Because he found out his wife was a Hyde.
Right.
And the part of the mystery is that, yes, they misled me later. But the first time we meet Christina Ricci's character, I was like, she's like, there's mud on my boots. And it was like right after an accident. She like says it. It's like, sorry, my boots are muddy. And they look and there's like a shocked look, even though she just said that. I was like, oh. She's involved somehow. I don't know how she could be the monster because she can't transform in her clothes, which is one thing I thought Wednesday was always crazy about, was that, oh, you were the monster. Like, I just saw the monster 5 seconds ago, and now you're standing here with all your clothes on, like, not ripped off or anything. I knew she was involved somehow from the very first time we met her, and she mentioned the mud on her shoes for no reason.
I did not know that early.
But then they threw me off with the roses from the other lady, and the other lady being blonde and, like... Especially since he was the only non-freak to ever teach there.
Okay. The only normie, calm down with the verbal abuse here.
That's the kind of stuff they called non-freak, themselves even.
Non-freak.
I wasn't going to use normie, but they never refer to the humans as normies. They just keep saying that they're the outcasts, even amongst themselves. Like, I don't know, it was an interesting choice to do that. Because, yeah, they didn't call the other people normies. They were like, oh, no, we're the weird ones. They always, like, referred to themselves, not the other people. Another guest appearance from one of Jammer's
Another
pets.
Animal. Yeah, my pets.
Mine's over there. Usually he's near me, but yeah. So, anything else to say about Wednesday?
No, I just thought it was a really solid show. I'm really excited to see season two. Jenna Ortega, I mean, I don't need to say it. Everyone else is fucking saying it online. Is just
it's her year. Like I said,
she's a definitive
loved her in
Scream
version, too.
Definitive version of Wednesday. She carries the show effectively. The writing, I think, overall is really good, and how they develop her character and the style, I think, fits. It's all a recipe for a really appealing and fun show. Good job, Netflix and co.
My only fear with the sequel series, because I very much want to see one as soon as it was done, I'm like, I need more of this, is you almost have to like Knives Out it or Glass Onion it and be like, I can't just be a mystery at the school again with the same characters. I feel that's going to feel sloppy. Like, you almost have to even like change genres as far as, oh, it's not a mystery show this year. It's a.
I disagree. I think you.
Otherwise, then
this...
I think it'll feel too much like Harry Potter, where every semester it's like, he saved us from another version of Voldemort, which is one of the reasons I don't like the Harry Potter franchise the longer it goes on.
Oh, interesting. No,
it's like,
I think
here's the school year, and he saved everyone right before the school year ended, and he gets 10 extra points from Dumbledore.
For Gryffindor. Yeah, yeah. For... No, I think.
Oh, from Dumbledore to Gryffindor. Yeah.
Right. So I think I disagree. I think you could definitely have a mystery each year as well as contribute to the overall storyline. Because it's not like shows go like, hey, Supernatural, that was a great first season, but we can't have any more Supernatural storylines because it's too much of the same. So let's just switch genres into something else. I don't think you're going to have that. I think I think you can have that exact thing that you don't want. I think you can have that each season. I think there's room for more than one school-based mystery series than Harry Potter.
And that is the one thing I kept thinking, where I'm like, I shouldn't like this because I don't like Harry Potter, but they're doing better here.
But why don't you like Harry Potter? That's the question.
Because it did fall into the form, like each book I liked less. The movies, why? They actually got better for a little bit, and then I just stopped watching them. Because it is like the same thing. It's like, oh no, there's a new version of Voldemort. Like, he's not here yet, but he's here. Now this time he's Tom Riddle, that time he's on the back of someone's head, and it's like the Harry Potter figures it out right before finals or right after finals.
But then he's there for the last part of the series on.
I didn't even make it that far with the movies. I've read all the books. My mom read all the books to us, so once I went to college, I was on as many trips as them, so I haven't read most of the last one, which is good.
Wait, how many have you read? How many books have you read?
All of them except for all of the last one.
Okay.
Which is good, because I've heard the parts I missed was even Harry Potter fans are like, those camping scenes are awful. And I'm like, that's...
Yeah.
But yeah, I dig it. Well, I'm interested to see. Hopefully they shake it up a little bit so I'm not watching the same show. Like you kind of mentioned about her family, they could dive into her family a little more without making the show about them.
Right. But kind of like you, I'm less interested in the family and more interested in how... What happened that episode affects the drive to be mm-hmm. who she is at the school and the decisions that she makes. So I'm more interested in the impact they have on her than in actually seeing more of the family. Because I'm with you. The family's fine. I could do without them for an entire season and be fine with it.
And the final thing I want to say about the show is I'm going to give the exact numbers that we referenced before as far as viewership. But before I say that, I have something to admit. I noticed it when watching. I didn't know it until I was watching Addams Family 1991. And I realized a huge age gap. I did not know Winona Ryder and Christina Ricci were different people. Especially since what? I thought Adam. I did not know Winona Ryder and Christina Ricci, is that her name? I did not know they were different people.
You thought it was the same actor?
Mm-hmm. Until I was watching them as different. Obviously, when I was watching it's Wednesday, I was like, that's not Winona Ryder.
No,
especially since I thought Adam's Family was directed by Tim Burton.
Clearly, was like, someone was not a Casper fan growing up. A fan of
but I didn't know that was Christine Ricci in Casper, even though I just watched that like 2 weeks ago. I didn't know the actress's name in that.
Wow. Okay.
All I remember, Bill Pullman was the only, and Eric Idle, the only actors I knew from that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Good draw, though, Casper.
I mean, everyone knows that. Come on.
Everyone. That's a very specific movie. I'm surprised it is like still like on sale sometimes on
Kyle,
or streaming.
Did you like Casper growing
up?
It was all right. But you watched
my
it.
Sister and so I
that's
both
not a random pull.
No, my sister and I both like enjoyed it well enough. I think she was a bigger fan than I was, like the Ghostbusters Easter egg in it.
Oh, that's so cool.
There's a Ghostbusters Easter egg in it?
Yeah, Dan Aykroyd's literally in it.
Dan Aykroyd, he's like,
it says Stance on his shoulder.
Someone else.
It even has his character name. Like, yeah. They somehow got the rights.
The three brothers
that?
Are terrorizing
that.
The house.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Wow.
You need to rewatch it.
Something.
It's been apparently. Too long since you've seen the
it's
fantastic
literally been about
film.
A decade. It's literally about a
I haven't watched
since
that
watched
since
Casper.
Before high school, so
really,
and I can remember that. But then again, I've got a giant Ghostbusters tattoo, so
yeah,
it's
I forgot about that. You're right.
It's interesting for me. It's a yearly watch for Halloween. Like I never said that. It's never been on my official list, but it's definitely a movie I've seen every year for the last 5 years in October.
And yet, you thought that was Winona Ryder. Come on.
Well, I didn't know who that. I didn't know that was Christina Ricci or Winona. Like I didn't know the name of that girl.
That
actress.
Baffles me. That's funny.
But now that I've baffled you,
you're brave to have come out. I appreciate your bravery.
Come out as someone who didn't know there were different people until this show. Okay, so it's one of the streamers' most popular series of all time. The total of 752.5 hours viewed since the premiere on November 23rd.
Million hours. I know that the article has it doesn't.
Yeah, the article
in,
just says hours.
Yeah,
it's number at the currently that puts it as number three most watched English language TV title in Netflix history, and they're calculating, like we said, that's going to perform better than Stranger Things, because that's the number one position is Stranger Things season 4 with 1.35 billion hours, 28 days, and Monster, which I never saw it called that, but Monster the Dahmer. The Jeffrey Dahmer story. Wow, it was called Dahmer. The Jeffrey Dahmer story too follows with the 856.2 million. So
yeah so
big numbers,
is,
which
I
is
think,
one of the reasons it brought me in.
These numbers are calculated, I believe, over the course of a month, or is it 4 weeks specifically? Is it saying in the article there? I believe it's over the course of a month or 4 weeks. Sorry, that was a prompt for you to look at the article, not take a drink, but.
Okay. I already closed the article.
Oh,
but
okay.
No, it's just they're tracking it. Like they keep saying, like, oh, it set the record for this amount of time.
No, my point is that the numbers that Stranger Things has is over the course of a month, I believe. And I wanted you to check to see if that specifically does it say in that article what the tracking figure is, because essentially as time goes on, you know, over the next couple of weeks or a week or however much time there is left, it'll settle in and we can compare direct apples to apples as to how it performed within the same time period as the other shows.
Maybe. We'll see. I'm sure we'll hear more about it.
I was really hoping that you would have pulled it up by now, but I'm going to go ahead and do it since this is
the website
right there. Oh, it was impossible for you to bring it back up. Sorry, I had to find it. I didn't have it open in front of me either.
See?
Well,
I have the next story ready.
It. Okay,
I don't have it pulled up still. I've moved on.
You've moved on.
I gave the
see here.
Numbers.
Tim Burton, da 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 da. Viewership isn't the only, but da da da. 1899, series of that. Okay, here we go. So the way they calculate it, Netflix calculates this list based on a project's performance during the first 28 days of its availability, meaning that Wednesday still has two more weeks to continue climbing the rankings. So that 752 hours, million hours, compared to 856.
I love that they left that word out.
Dahmer.
On an important article.
Right? Dahmer. So that's definitely going to pass that. So they literally have about twice the amount of time to hit less than twice the numbers for Stranger Things. Now, will it speed up over time? I don't know. They seem to be really hitting their stride with the popularity. So I could see it increasing in popularity, but it's not like Stranger Things didn't have that similar sort of feel online. So in a couple of weeks, we'll be able to take a look and see, did this all result in it becoming the most successful Netflix series or the most watched Netflix series in the first 28 days of all time? I hope so, because why not?
That's just crazy to me, though. That Stranger Things, which is such a phenomenon. I don't know if they just captured something in the trailer or has great word of mouth, but I wouldn't have expected anything related to the Adams Family, even all of them being in it, was that big of a franchise. Hey, now my cat's,
I think it's been great word of mouth, which is why it surprised me how the 85% or whatever the 80-ish percent ratings from fans is. So yeah, I think I was just surprised that because of how popular I've seen it online, that that rating was lower than I expected it to be. But yeah, I think it has been word of mouth, because I think it would have fallen off if it was not for word of mouth, like every other Netflix show out there.
Mm-hmm.
Then again, well, they've done a good job on YouTube and stuff, like having all this, these interviews with the cast and all these like activities and games and stuff, and you know, TikTok sort of things that they've done with the cast. So I'm like, is this a reaction to how successful it is, or has this planned from the start? I don't know. I'm not a marketer or a digital marketer, so I really don't understand. We'll see. Who knows? Like, I maybe we won't see, but is there literally just been more marketing for this than other shows?
Interesting. Yeah, because I haven't seen any marketing for it except for that we, you know, we watch trailers. We're out of our way to find, well, we see trailers, geek trailers pop up because we're all on Twitter. But I haven't seen any advertising
all over the place, especially online, with people freaking out about.
You even have your ad search turned off, we learned last week. So
yeah, apparently.
Oh, yeah. The dance controversy now.
Controversy? What controversy?
She did that scene while having COVID.
Oh, yeah.
And then people are like, and she, and her quote is, they gave me pills for it. And it's like, I guess there are COVID pills now, but not ones that make you not give it to other people.
Yeah, that's,
and that's like, well, that's a crowded, like, I'm not gonna judge that much. We,
I mean, I judge, like, it weird. I judge it, but at the same time I'm like,
I almost blame the filmmakers more than her now. Yeah,
yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. 100%.
She's like, I have COVID. It's not like they didn't know if they were giving her pills, like if that was a Tim Burton episode, or even not, if not the producer or someone should have been like, whoa, can we wait a week before shooting a scene with her in a room full of, like,
and then Netflix 50 is like, other kids. Do you want to waste $1.2 million? And they'd be like, oh fuck, no,
sorry Netflix.
Yeah,
we need some of that Russo money for season two. So next stories, we're gonna be doing another edition of Warner Brother Woes WBW, but I'm saying it with a question mark, because depending on how you feel about DC, this might actually be a win.
Oh, so I consider it a win. WBW no matter what, though.
Oh, Warner Brother win, Warner Brother Woe. So Hollywood Reporter came out with an article that we will talk about James Gunn's response to it. But obviously, we've been talking for a while that James Gunn, the combination of him and Peter Safran are the Kevin Feige's of DC, picked by Warner Bros. Discovery boss David Zaslavsky. I've said Zaslav. I've said Zalowski. It. That's funny, is I've said Zalowski. That name before. I'm even reading it off the screen. I'm like adding syllables. But oh, I have my story switched. Whoa, give me a second. I'm just getting my shit together, everyone. I almost gave the response from James Gunn.
Okay, I can start.
Yeah, you can do that. I mean, I have it pulled up, but you can start.
Oh, okay, you'll go for it.
Okay,
because I got to let
so
my
this
dog.
This story was from the Hollywood Reporter. Oh. Oh, not that one. I should have let you start, but I'm going to pull up this article again.
Which story? Are you talking about the Wonder Woman one?
Yeah, I'm pulling it up.
Okay.
Don't worry.
Oh my God. Let me do it, because you've tried twice and failed. So, big news coming from the Hollywood Reporter. It looks like Patty Jenkins' Wonder Woman 3 will not be moving forward and is quote-unquote considered dead in its current incarnation. Sources say that Jenkins recently submitted her treatment, co-written with Jeff Johns, in that Gunn, Safran, as well as Warner Brothers Picture, co-chairs and co-CEOs Michael DeLuca and Pamela Abdi, broke the news to the filmmaker, telling her the project, as it stood, did not fit in the new but still unfolding plans. So, no decision at this point has been made about next steps. So
I've read a more recent article, but I didn't pull it up. I forgot there wasn't in this article where it said they gave her a chance to do a different treatment, and she was like, "No, I want to do this, or I'm not doing it."
Oh, so go ahead and. I mean, is that it, or is
that's
there
it? That's it.
Quote that you can use.
I didn't think to pull up the article because I thought that was included in this one. because, you know, stuff's been unfolding since this article. There's my cameo for my cat. Very quick. But because they also go on not to steal your thunder. Well, you know, part of that, they're talking about costs. Gal Gadot would cost $20 million. Jenkins set up for $12 million before, you know, the bonuses you get being on the back end. And again, this article makes it clear that Warner Bros. Had no comment. And when we talk about James Gunn, it sounds like a lot of this could be speculation, this story. And it goes on to, well, actually, it's interesting. Gadot tweeted a big thank you to her fans on Tuesday, saying she was grateful to be allowed to play the heroine and role model. And she also wrote, can't wait to share her next chapter with you. So it wasn't like, oh, thanks for letting me play it. Like, I just heard I'm fired. It was like, it was probably drumming up support.
I'm going to go ahead and read that article that you mentioned. According to Deadline,
you found the other one? Cool.
Yeah, Jenkins' pitch for the sequel had character arc problems that rivaled those of Wonder Woman 1984. Oof. The report also notes that Warner Brothers top execs had issues with Jenkins' treatment even before Gunn and Safran had their notes. Jenkins reportedly, quote-unquote, fought back and defended her vision that the threequel's character arcs were solid. Regardless, she decided to leave the project rather than attempt to reconcile her take on it with notes from Gunn and Safran. So that's where things stood, but it does come in the wake of James Gunn and Peter Safran showing up, and it sounds like they have a very distinct vision for what they want the DCEU to be. And this comes on, there's so many other rumors like are now running around with Aquaman 2 being the last time Jason Momoa is going to be playing Aquaman, and that he'll be playing Lobo going forward in a new iteration.
Which is what Danny wanted when we're like, who would you cast as Lobo? Mm-hmm. Danny's first answer was Jason Momoa. And now it's like, that might happen. It's like, but he can't. He's already taken. Now it's like, because I mean, I guess part of the what this article boils down to, because it also brings Superman into question. Henry Cavill actually returning, but what this basically boils down to is, will they do, and I think they should, a complete reboot of the DCU, since they're so obsessed with making it all connected. Because I think what we've gotten so far, the best movie's been the one that's unrelated to anything else, the Batman, which the article also mentions is safe. That's its own little pocket verse. Though someone online was like, let me guess, all these, this new universe is going to grow out of the Batman. I'm like, I don't, unless they overrule Reeves.
People
correctly.
Are so, I hate people where they're just like, oh, well, let me guess. I am so knowledgeable and jaded that I know how Hollywood works and I know how they think.
Oh, I feel attacked here. That's what Manny and I do every day, well, almost every day on the Daily Cog. However,
shameless plug.
I will say, Manny and I both, we're not readers of GFR and watchers of Overlord DVD only. So
what
Manny
the hell is
and
GFR?
I, a giant freaking robot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm name dropping bullshitters out there. Allegedly bullshitters. They're bullshitters.
They were right once. It's crazy how good they were right once.
No, giant freaking robot has
broken,
been right more
broken
than
clock.
Once. Calm down.
But yeah, the thing is hours before James Gunn came out and said what Nick is going to talk about, Manny and I said the exact same thing he says in his tweets. We talked about how there's no way you're going to jettison all of it. It's already so far over the place, and there's already so much stuff still going on throughout next year. You can't jettison it all. You pick and choose what you're going to keep. You look for what's worked, what hasn't. Like, that's on the Daily Cog. We recorded hours before that even popped up. It was
before the James Gunn quote,
but
after this article you recorded it.
Yes. So it does seem there's been a lot of stuff. Whenever the trade's getting involved, you've got Variety, Deadline, Hollywood Reporter, and additionally The Wrap. All I think the only one that really hasn't had too much going on with this particular story this time around was Variety. But they're all trying to get their own little nuggets out there to get the clicks, get to put the coveted exclusive in your headline. But it does seem, when you connect all the dots together, that she had an idea of Vision. Those that have heard her talk about Wonder Woman 84 know that that was her Vision, her baby. She claims control and ownership. She said she had a lot more of a collaborative thing for the first film. It does seem like they said, this isn't going to work. Go back and do something else. Yeah. Can you make another pitch? And allegedly the door's still open. A lot of the other things like Lobo and stuff like that is just kind of connecting dots. Like when Momoa was asked about other things he would work on, and he mentions his love of comic books. And if you know me, you'll know what I'm working on. And people connect lines to that as well. It's messy. It is. So.
Yeah, as Kyle's saying, everyone has their own take, and you know, the Hollywood Reporter article is the one that's blew up the most. There have been other people after that.
They were the first.
Yeah, they were the first.
Hashtag first.
Damn it. But they're basically, this article is proposing that everyone could go. The two that are kind of, and they also say the same day an article came out earlier in the day saying they were doing a Hawkman spinoff and a Black Adam spinoff. This came out later in the or sequel. This article came out later in the day saying, confirming what people were saying before The Rock released his article, which was it did lose money and a sequel to that is unlikely. Earlier, before this article it came out, there was an article like that. I don't remember where it was from, but The Rock shared being like, hey, it made money, because we were reporting them before that. Whoa, it was going to lose a bunch of money.
I feel like I'm totally down to talk about that as well, but I feel like you're kind of weaving that into something that's not quite related, because
I'm just saying the article says also unlikely is a sequel to Black Adam. Despite the hype surrounding the movie of launching a new corner of the DC, a lot of it led to star Dwayne Johnson. The movie has only grossed $385 million worldwide. Insiders at the studio say the movie, which costs more than $190 million to produce, two sources peg the actual cost of $230 million, not including marketing, will be lucky to break even.
But yeah, one thing I do want to mention also is the whole situation with Henry Cavill. As you mentioned, we know he came back and was like, I'm back as Superman. And so that might not happen.
That might not happen too.
Yeah, Man of Steel 2 might not be returning. That might be shutting down. And they mentioned here that with regards to The Flash, which is coming out next year, Cavill shot his part of a cameo in September. But sources say there is a debate inside the studio as whether or not to keep the cameo, and if its inclusion promises something that the studio would have no plans on delivering. So,
and they also talk about, like, because after The Flash, which you could use to rewrite everything if you reshot part of it, because that's what Flashpoint is, which it seems to be based at least loosely on. They talk about Shazam, Fury of the Gods. Actually, it does come out before. I don't know. That comes out in March. Blue Beetle, which was a really cool surprise last week, or maybe it was even earlier this week. No, it was last week. James Gunn released the poster and it says like in theaters, August 18th. Because wasn't that originally Max?
HBO Max original. Yeah.
And they're talking about, you know, would those be able to move forward, even as other ones maybe aren't? And that'd be interesting. But I think the real thing is that Blue Beetle could totally be the beginning of the next wave, because there might be no one who crosses into that, so there might be no references to the DCU in that, especially with probably reshoots they're doing to make it more you don't have to reshoots to make it more theatrical, but we haven't even heard they've wrapped production on Blue Beetle. So,
well, they decided to make it theatrical before they started shooting it, so that's
they did
nothing new. Yeah,
I actually, when I saw the poster, I was like, right on, like before Gunn. It's like we cancel movies after Gunn. It's like we bring them to the big screen, baby.
No. So actually, Zaslav, when he first came in after canceling a bunch of projects, promoted Blue Beetle to theatrical. After canceling Batgirl, he immediately did that for Blue Beetle. So it's like that was back then when Batgirl was canceled, is when he promoted Blue Beetle. Yeah, so that's old news.
So we have all the speculation and stuff. Before I ask your reaction on it, which apparently we disagree based on your face when I said they should just throw everything out and start again.
No, I didn't say that.
Oh, I saw your face. Maybe it was Kyle's face. One of you reacted face, like had a strong reaction on your face.
Can't do that. Man, I wouldn't if I were them. But anyways, go. Your show.
I was just going to read the Gunn quote and then... Of course, this is all speculation and stuff. James Gunn got on Twitter and did like a thread.
Hold on. This is not speculation. This is... These are
the Hollywood Reporter stuff.
That's not
except for the Wonder Woman part. Most of it is speculation. It's all insiders say.
That's insider say is not speculation. Those are completely different things. It's like you have sources say, which are people saying that sources say versus we're just speculating based on things.
Okay,
so that's semantics. Different. That's different. That's not semantics. It's very different. Anyways, continue.
Anyway, so James Gunn got on the next day and said, Peter and I choose to helm DC Studios knowing that we were coming, knowing we were coming into a franchise environment, both in the stories being told and the audience itself, and there would be an unavoidable transitional period as we moved into telling a cohesive story across film, TV, animation, and gaming. I still think that's a bad idea to be that connected, but anyway.
I agree.
But in the, like, leave the animated stuff alone, especially since that's been their best stuff. And I don't know. But in the end, the drawbacks of the transitional period were dwarfed by the creative possibilities and opportunity built upon what DC has worked on so far, which would be kind of saying that that's him rebuking it. But and to help rectify what was not. We know we are not going to make every single person happy every step of the way, but we can promise everything we do is done with the service of the story in all caps and the service of the DC characters in all caps. We know you will cherish and we have cherished our whole lives. Because of that, yesterday the hashtag I couldn't ignore just because it was ever fucking everywhere was fire James Gunn. And it's like he's just been hired.
Snyder fan.
I know. No, I know. Actually, it felt like it was more than just Snyder people this time. It was people who have enjoyed even. You know, he was being attacked. They're like, well, Suicide Squad, all of his movies are going to be about characters we don't care about with dick and fart jokes. And one person was even like, I didn't used to believe this, but I had a theory, but now I 100% believe that he was sent from Marvel to just destroy DC.
Oh my
and it's
God,
like,
people
what?
Are stupid.
People.
I mean, maybe he wasn't, maybe he was just kidding, or maybe he was just like, that's how he felt, even, but that's objectively just stupid. That's fucking stupid.
No, the guy who did that, I mean, he's just a nobody. He's not even a check mark, not even a paid
sure.
check mark. But he also,
because
he was retweeting his old tweet from when James Gunn got hired, where his old tweet was like, maybe he's been sent over to sabotage DC. So he retweeted his old tweet from months ago and was like, he's definitely been sent over. So that was James Gunn not admitting to not getting rid of people like Henry Cavill, but doing what was best to serve a connected universe, which they fumbled. And I found what they've done since then to try to fix it, where they're like keeping Aquaman, like kind of forgetting about Justice League. One's not canon. The other one they don't want to remind you of.
What do you mean forgetting about Justice League?
Well, I feel like they're never going to reference or talk about anything that happened in Justice League again.
Oh, gotcha.
Like because that kind of thing. They don't want
two
you to remember
versions of Justice League.
Yeah. And they've said that the one that's canon is obviously the one that they made originally.
The worst one. God, that one
sucks so much. Yeah, of course the worst one. But yeah. So what are are you against them throwing everything out? Except for the stuff that doesn't feel like it's too connected.
No, I'm not against it because I'd be very sad to see Gal Gadot go. I'll be very sad to see Henry Cavill go. I'll be very sad to see Jason Momoa not come back as Aquaman. And of course Ben Affleck is Batman, but he's been mentally gone for so long that like it doesn't matter, even though he's coming back for a second. He's already been gone in my mind.
Yeah.
Yes, that was an amazing cast of leads. But as Gunn said, this is all in service of what is best for the story and characters.
Yeah.
And for me, if you're going to start from scratch, let him start from scratch and do something more cohesive. We'll catch on. We'll get with it. We'll be upset for a month or a year, but then we'll get over it because at the end of the day, if the movies are great, who cares?
Yeah.
That's how I feel. If the movies are great, who cares? Did you say that last tweet that he had where he talks about Oh, regarding directly the Hollywood Reporter article, because I just want to make sure we say that Let's part see. Of it, where he says, as for the story yesterday in the Hollywood Reporter, some of it is true, some of it is half true, some of it is not true, and some of it we haven't decided yet whether it's true or not. Although this first month at DC has been fruitful, building the next 10 years of a story takes time, and we're still just beginning. So I just want to mention,
this is the best answer.
As you mentioned, he didn't confirm. He's basically said nothing. You know, basically said, I can't confirm or deny anything on there, and I won't confirm or deny anything on there.
Well, also saying some of it is true, but
that means nothing. When you say, he says some of it's true, some of it's not true, some of it may be true, some of it we haven't decided yet. It's just, it's literally just nothing. He gave the whole part was that we haven't decided answers.
Yet, or we don't know if it's true because we haven't gotten that far yet.
Right. So like he gave the entire spectrum of answers in one response, which I think is funny, which is basically a way of saying he said nothing. And we can speculate and pick and choose over which parts are true, which parts are not, and which parts are semi-true, which parts they're not far enough into to decide yet. But we don't know yet. But if it's all in service of a good story, great. I didn't think Peacemaker would work as a series. It worked incredibly well as a series. So I would like to think, as sad as I would be for him to throw everything out, if in 5 years it leads to a universe of movies and projects that have just been so cohesive and well-told fun stories, then I think
phase two of Marvel, if it's phase two of Marvel, good.
I hated phase two of Marvel. So no, I did not like Guardians of the Galaxy 1. I did not like Avengers Age of Ultron, and I did not like Thor the Dark World. I really enjoy Iron Man 2, 3, I think it's better as its own standalone thing, not as a part of the
That's true.
And
I guess
so I did not like
Civil War's
Ant-Man.
No, Ant-Man I liked. I said I did not. I liked and Ant-Man. Civil I liked War. Captain America. Civil War. It's the other.
No, you're right. Winter,
Winter Soldier.
Those are those two. Those were the two out of the six movies that I liked.
I think at this point, but James Gunn's the right guy to lead it. I would be shocked if they're able to release something as good as Phase Two, just based on their track record so far. Obviously, different people
are
in charge.
Phase Three is the real winner of Marvel. Come on, Phase Three.
Yeah, it is.
Killer.
It's true. No, you and I disagree a lot on Guardians, which one is good and which one is okay.
Yeah, I thought the first one was blah. It was fine. The second one, I thought they let him amp up the weird and go into like more emotional territory than the first one. The first one
kinda
just felt really paint by numbers.
Yeah, kind of related to that, though. The second one made me doubt James Gunn. I was like, yes, this is, it almost felt like, kind of like I mentioned, maybe I mentioned this and think about this too often, where it felt like he was trying to capture James Gunn of like 3 years ago, but then the Suicide Squad and Peacemaker set me straight as far as like, don't doubt James
the Suicide
Gunn.
Squad was great. Peacemaker, oh my god, was god tier. I'm still shocked by how good that show
one of the
is.
Best movies of the year, better than any Marvel series. Show
you said movies, so series.
I said one of the best shows of the year as far as Peacemaker.
Yeah.
Definitely better than anything Marvel put out, even though I'm definitely more of a Marvel guy.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think Disney Plus has put out any good, any comparable Marvel or any Marvel show has been as good as that, period. Any Marvel
I would agree.
Action show. Wow, can't believe I said that. That's surprising.
It's true, though. Peacemaker was... It was kind of like an Andor. It's like, you of all the characters from that movie, you pick the one that died until the post-credit scene. Yeah. And then when you watch it, you're like, oh my god, I care about this character. Even though he's just an asshole.
I still have only watched an episode and a half. You remember how I said that getting buy-in from your partner is essential to watching shows? Kirsten is really bored by Andor, so I haven't been watching Andor. it's just about time. I'll probably find time this weekend to watch a few episodes, but it's going to be a slow burn for me. Which apparently is kind of like what the show is anyway, so maybe it's a good thing.
So, next. Ready to move on from WBW or WBW the other way? Our last story today, because we're trying to keep it short in stories. In fact, this will actually be a much shorter episode than normal. Here's the title from Variety. So, people have seen Avatar, you know, the movie about caring about the environment and all that stuff. And it was only shown in London, so everyone flew out to see it and their gas-guzzling airplanes after... The movie being, well, that's the thing. They could have shown it everywhere, but they're like, no, critics can only see it in London. And It was like, okay, movie about the Earth, then make everyone fly to one place to see it.
Is the second one about the Earth?
The first one was. The second one's about oceans. Well, neither of them about the Earth. They're going to the Earth in the fifth
one. Does the second
one
have a BP oil spill?
Something like that. It's probably going to be like the one subplot from Black Panther.
Which one?
Oh, just the vibranium in the ocean. So like, oh, there's unobtainium in the ocean. But so that we have our first reactions. No reviews are allowed. We have basically our first tweets. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been 13 years. Even before these reviews came out, I've been shocked. I think it's going to be huge. People are really excited for it. I didn't think they would be a few months ago, but they are now one of the most Avatar fans are now one of the most annoying fans on Twitter because they're attacking people who are just like tepid about it, like me. Where I'm like,
so I knew. I knew for me, I still kind of have really not that much excitement for it, and I haven't for years. But at the same time, I knew when the time came, I'll get excited for it and I'll watch it, and we'll see what happens. But
watch it on Disney Plus.
I'll definitely watch it, and I'll definitely be excited.
There's no, especially being unemployed. I mean, because you know me, if I can afford it, I'll watch anything for the podcast, basically. But especially being unemployed, I will probably be able to get out of watching this horrific. I don't know. It's not going to be horrific. I just didn't like the first one. You're not going to sell me on seeing a movie just because it looks pretty. Unless it's like stop motion or something. But so after 13 years, we finally have our first reaction. Pandango's Eric Davis said, happy to say Avatar, The Way of Water is phenomenal. Bigger, better, and more emotional than Avatar. The film is visually breathtaking, visceral, and incredibly engrossing. The story, the spectacle, the spirituality, the beauty, this is movie making and storytelling at its absolute finest. Happy, fat, sad, confused host Josh Horowitz. I love it. These are like some of the exact people I do follow. I saw them tweet it because I follow both those critics. James Cameron once again shows filmmakers how it's done. I've said it 1,000 times. Never doubt him. Avatar The Way of Water is how you do epic blockbustering. Emotional, visceral, and as big as movies get. And then Collider's Perry Nemiroff, who I don't follow, said, I had faith James Cameron would raise the bar with the effects, but these visuals are mind-blowing. One stunning frame after the next. The only thing that worries me a little about it is that most people are talking about, like, they pick three, the two of the three they picked talk about story, but most of the ones don't talk about story that I've seen other reactions from people where they're just like, it looks beautiful, but they never like, in fact, one of them was even like, you know the story already, but it looks great. So are you surprised or not, Jammer, that Avatar, a sequel that took 13 years to make and has been one man's obsession, a very good filmmaker's obsession, is both people are excited for and the critics are like, yes, it's still good?
No, I'm not really surprised. James Cameron has incredible instinct to what audiences like, even if we like to poke fun at them after the fact. That's just kind of the reality. Like, he has his finger on the pulse of what kind of works on a visceral level. And so it's not surprising that I imagine we'll probably see something similar happen as last time, where it's going to become a huge phenomenon. People are going to be impressed with, oh my God, this was so engrossing. This was so visually amazing. This is breathtaking. Da, 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 da. And then after a month, we'll be like, ah, it wasn't that great when you actually think about it for a second. But that's okay, because at the end of the day, if it creates a great, good theatrical experience and it works on that level, I call it a success, even if it's not a success in the most deep of ways. And that's kind of what I'm expecting from this movie. I'm expecting to really enjoy myself watching it. But then after that, people are like, ah, and if it's better than that, great. You know, and I see some comments here that, you know, hint at a better story. They say the story, this is Eric Davis one, the story, the spectacle, spirituality, the beauty. This is movie making and storytelling at its absolute finest.
And I found one of the people.
Emotional. Hold on. Emotional is another big word that they use. Emotion, emotional, emotional. Of course, they mentioned the visuals and technical stuff. As for the story, a lot of movie, and I'm eager for a second viewing to revisit some of the details, but on first watch, it's a mighty effective exploration of community and family dynamics. That to me feels like a story that is rich in theme and purpose, which is a good thing.
I found the other guy I was thinking of. He's in the article too, but it's at the bottom where they're showing a bunch of tweets. Ian Sandwell is the one who said, unsurprisingly, Avatar: The Way of Water is a visual masterpiece with rich use of 3D and breathtaking vistas. It does suffer from a thin story and too many characters to juggle, yet James Cameron pulls it together for an extraordinary final act full of emotion and thrilling action. So again, he says emotion, but he said the part that I was most afraid of, which is thin story, like the first one. And too many characters to juggle, which I found a problem with the first one. Mostly I couldn't tell any of the characters apart.
Racist.
I was like, I think that's the Sigourney Weaver one. Until they talk, I'm like, and I think actually the biggest troll of all is James Cameron, and I don't have a problem with that when you're someone like James Cameron. I mean, like, if you're going to be a big successful, not all directors have to do this. Spielberg's always struck me as like a humble guy, but like, you know, James Cameron and Zack Snyder are out there being like, look, if you don't like it being this long, fuck you. Like, I don't literally say fuck you. Well, James Cameron literally does say fuck you in some of the interviews, but he's like it's very interesting. One of the most interesting quotes, and they have one in this article too, but not the same quote,
you don't get to being a big Hollywood director.
No, exactly. You got to have the bravado and be, you know, you have to be into what you're making, like, and believe in it wholeheartedly. To be someone like James Cameron, especially with the success he's had. He has made a lot of great movies. Avatar is just not one of them for me. For me.
Sure.
Like, I still have no interest in the sequel. But
I'll watch it. I'm down. Give me
One of the interesting two different people who tweeted this year, both great filmmakers. Christopher McQuarrie. Someone asked him, like, when's a good time to go to the bathroom in your movies in general? And he's like, never. You need to watch every frame. And James Cameron's version of it was, whenever you want to go, because you'll be seeing it again.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. I like
that. And, you know, one of the complaints we always get, I always complain, and I'm usually proven wrong when we see a movie with over a 3-hour runtime. Though I have gone to the bathroom every 3-hour runtime movie that has been released in the last like 10 years, including Endgame and The Batman. Thankfully, with the Batman, it was a show. It was the one scene they'd shown online already, and I'm like, perfect. But
yeah, funny for me, as I've grown up, I've started to care less and less about going to the bathroom, because I used to hold it, and I used to not understand how people get up in the middle of a movie and go to the bathroom. For me now, I'm like, I'm a fucking adult. I need to go to the bathroom. I'll go to the fucking bathroom if I want to, and I'll just go as quickly as I can and come back and be comfortable for the rest of the movie.
I kind of glass onion. I tried to
onion.
I had to go to the bathroom. I had to go to the bathroom. But I was like, I can't miss a single frame of this movie. It might not even be a mystery part, but just I can't miss like one line from someone like Edward Norton or something.
Yeah, I don't think I went to the bathroom in that one, thankfully.
And it is shorter. But I do like his quote though. I disagree with the quote a lot. It's the same one everyone uses where it's like, I don't want anybody, this is the exact quote from Cameron. He gave it to Empire. I don't want anybody whining about the length when they sit and binge watch television for 8 hours. He's like, and then he says, I can almost write this part of the review, the agonizingly long 3-hour movie. It's like, give me a fucking break. He does say fucking. I've watched my kids sit and do five 1-hour episodes in a row. Here's a big social paradigm shift that is to happen. It's okay to get up and go pee. And the only reason is like people keep saying that. And it's like, yeah, I'll watch 8 hours of content in a day some days, depending if I'm working or not. But I can go to the bathroom. I can switch shows if I'm not into these characters all day. It's like, I still think that being a big difference of like,
I don't know if it's a big difference. It's definitely a difference, but it's not a big difference in terms of time.
I can take a break.
Like, he talked about his kids literally doing 5 1-hour shows. So there are people. And I do this frequently. I can watch 3 to 5 episodes of a really good show. Not 5, maybe 3 to 4 episodes of a good show in a row without a bathroom break. No, it's not as convenient.
I can't. I drink too much water.
Oh, well, I probably should drink more water in all honesty. So there you go.
This is just today.
I see his point, but his point is also go to the bathroom. and then come back.
Yeah.
And if you need to see it again, you could see it again. Or maybe you could watch it on Disney Plus in 3 months and then have that comfort of your house. And the reality is most people, when they see it on Disney Plus, they're going to have that same comfort. But they're still going to complain about how long it is, even though they have those same exact comforts they would have in a TV show.
Well, like, I didn't, like, for example, a great one, you know, it's 4 hours long, Zack Snyder's Justice League. I watched it over 3 days because, especially since he broke it down into chapters. That's how I plan on watching Avatar.
One night.
I'm probably, then I, when I rewatched it with my friends, we watched it in one night with Snap. We treated it like the Super Bowl.
Watching it.
It's so good, Kyle. You're high.
So boring.
It's so good.
That's not.
It's
the
pretty
point.
Boring.
I am quite often in that state. In that state. Jammer, come on now.
But the final article, I accidentally closed it. But all that's important about it, I'm having clicking problems today, especially since I can't plug in.
Can you just click it open again? It's very simple.
I don't need a quote from it.
Okay.
There's sources inside Warner Brothers, Warner Brothers Discovery. We now know for a fact, but we assumed that Discovery programming is coming to their next version of the streaming service, which is great because they do a lot of like home makeover shows, and I can't find good ones on any of the current networks.
Oh, thank God.
But inside the company, they're referring to it as Beam. But the rumored title is Max. And here's why I don't like it. And someone said a tweet that encapsulizes why I don't like it. It's like, it's barely a story, but this is why. Yes, words.
You sound words, like Edward Norton in Glass Onion.
I basically am.
Encapsulizes.
That's a good comparison. I'm basically him with less money.
Though you're not trying to tout yourself as any sort of genius. So
I'm just like, it's early. I have trouble with words. The reason I think Max is a silly name for it is because you're dropping the brand that everyone knows. If you drop HBO, I still think it's a weird choice to call it HBO Max and not like Warner Brothers. I know there are too many pluses out there, but like Warner Brothers Plus, you know, or something. You mentioned Peacock, but even Peacock stands out more than something that's just called Max.
Yeah, like, Max, it's a single syllable part that it just sounds like you're not done yet. And the fact that we've had HBO Max for so long makes it even more glaring. It's just Max. It's like just Max. All right. I agree. WB Max would be better, but I guess they're also worried that Warner Brothers Discovery Max, WBD Max. Like, no, you don't want to do that. So that maybe they have that discussion already. But also maybe there's a worry that over time, it's like, we don't want Warner Brothers brand to overshadow the lovely Discovery Plus series that are taking place on the program. So I think they're just trying to like pet all of the egos of every single branch of the conglomerate.
Allow me to help them.
Yes, go for it.
Discovery Max.
But what about WB people?
No, that's the Max part. Everyone already, like you said, associates Max with HBO Max. So Discovery Max.
I say no to that simply because when I think of Discovery, Nature Channels. I think of Nature Channels, and I would probably think, wait, it's just some nature shit. It's initially potentially off-putting.
Still think Warner Brothers Discovery Plus, minus in their case, based on just all the WBWs. But I like that we've just coined our own stupid term last week that. Made more sense this week with all the big DC
on another
happenings.
Note, and this is unrelated to anything. I'm curious what Kyle's thoughts are. I bet you in 2 to 3 years, Sony will be a new powerhouse.
Especially
because
with Legendary.
They didn't lose all this money on streaming? Quite possibly.
No, because
they have to make something better than Venom Let There Be Carnage.
I think we're in agreement there, but they have a Legendary.
Craven's not
going to
be good. Madam Web looks awful. But no.
I'm talking about Sony as a studio they really are a second tier studio. Okay.
They have been, but I'll say something shocking. Everyone knows I don't give two craps about Avatar. I hope it exceeds expectations. I really do. Why? For theater's sake. For nothing else other than theaters and the theater experience sake. We need Avatar to do really well. domestically, not worldwide. I don't give a damn about China's box office numbers. I mean, it helps the studios out. Yes, like Black Adam, if it had gotten a release in China, we wouldn't even be discussing the money issues, because China eats up The Rock, right? At least in whenever he's in
China,
gobbles
like
him up.
Blah, blah, blah. So I see Sony having stuck it out with this theater thing, as like you said, Jammer, they don't have a giant money pit. Well, there's other money pits. As a studio, they don't have a giant money pit of a streaming service that they're trying to fill with the same money they already had, but spread thinner across more projects. So yeah, Sony could replace. I mean,
and
I see them
tapping into international territories, unlike any other studio out there. You have Warner Bros. With their issues, and you have Disney, who's increasingly trying to be more progressive. Yeah. And that's definitely going to hurt them. Whereas Sony's just like, we're Sony. We do whatever. We're going to appeal to the mass market.
And they have a better back catalog than people think, because they produce, they don't have their own TV network, but they're the ones who made Breaking Bad and like Community. And like, stop bringing up Crackle.
I'm saying it exists. They have a streaming service.
It does. But I just, I think what works best for them is not having that need to fill a streaming service, and that's gonna benefit them. Where are all of the old studios are gone now, basically? I mean, yeah, Paramount, sort of, Warner Brothers,
Universal.
not really anymore. Universal, sort of, they're kind of similar to Paramount, where they're being relatively smarter with their streaming services. But we also, they're a little bit newer, and because they're smaller, there's not as many eyes on them as there has been Disney and Warner Brothers, which, you know, Warner falling apart, Disney stumbling. Those other two can kind of skip by. Sony's the only ones really that are relatively operating like a traditional Hollywood studio.
And it's hard to stumble when you're already on the ground. You're already
exactly
on the ground.
There's nowhere to go but up.
I could say more.
Until Madam Web. Well, and then they hit rock bottom again.
Perfect way. We need to end on Jammer's line and then Kyle's follow-up to that. Right. Are we good? Perfect ending. Perfect ending. So then you've been listening to another fascinating episode of Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast, and we are so glad that you joined us today. Of course, you can find us all over the, like, smattered all over the Genreverse podcast network and different audio listening podcast apps, basically. You know, I believe we're on Amazon now, Kyle. That's correct. You know, Apple, basically wherever you get your podcast. Amazon's a big get, sounds like to me. Because they actually have a very impressive library of music, too, if you belong to Prime.
We are not sponsored by Amazon.
Yeah, I'm not sponsoring.
Like an ad here.
Especially not sponsoring the week they laid me off. But just the fact that we're there is I'm sure a lot of people, that's a place they get their shit, if they even know they have music there. We are also on YouTube, of course, if you'd like to watch us. And we have many different podcasts here on the Genreverse Podcast Network. We have Animeversal Reviews, AVR Squared.
Yeah,
I got so close that time. I didn't say any X, no AVX. The Cantina for all your Star Wars news, Marvel Multiverse Mayhem for all your Marvel shenanigans. Daily Cup of Genre, where really they go off on anything. They're basically us, only daily. Different opinions, different people, but they can cover the news quicker than we can, since we're a weekly show. We're more of a last week tonight, and they're more of a daily show, basically.
There you go.
And of course, Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast. Am I forgetting any? I feel like I'm forgetting one, but
you're
I just
good.
Named a lot.
Got it.
Did you say Cantina?
I did.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Okay, you're good.
Awesome. So, of course, I've been your host, Nick. I can be found at Kiki Nick Doll on Twitter, which is still around. Jammer, what about yourself?
You can find me on Twitter at AJ Cerna Writer, and you can find me under the name AJ Cerna on Amazon and Audible. And also, I am serializing my new story, Spectral. You can check it out at royalroad.com and search Spectral. It's the one written by AJ Cerna.
And because my mind wasn't woken up all the way at the beginning of the show to say, introduce everyone, of course, we've had Kyle, who you've heard on the ones and the twos, our wonderful producer, and he's at that Kyle Malone on Twitter. So with that, hasta lasagna.